Hello everyone, and thanks for joining us again on the Rambling Through Albion podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Ine.
We managed to escape London for the first time this year.
Yeah, we went to Leeds last weekend, but only for a few hours.
28 to be precise, so we didn't get to see much. But it was an interesting trip. I lived in Leeds about 10 years ago, and to be honest, I hardly recognised the place. It seems to have undergone a few changes since the last time I was there. Let's begin with some basic facts about the city for the uninitiated. Leeds is located in West Yorkshire. It's about 200 miles north of London. If you are travelling from the capital, it's about a 4.5 hour drive. And bus fares are fairly cheap. I had a quick check online and saw that Megabus were selling tickets for £1 each way. But if you want to get there more quickly, the train from King's Cross takes only 2.5 hours. From Cardiff, Edinburgh and Glasgow, it's about 220, 230 miles. And if you were trying to get there from Belfast, Dublin or even further away, it would probably be best to fly into Leeds Bradford Airport or even Manchester. Manchester Airport's only about 50 miles away from Leeds. Leeds is twinned with Dortmund, Lille and Ulaanbaatar, amongst others.
Interesting. How many people live there?
Good question. I was really surprised to learn that there are 750,000 people in Leeds, and that makes it the UK's third largest city. I have to admit that I was completely ignorant of that fact. I honestly thought the likes of Manchester and Glasgow were bigger, but apparently not. So we say here every day is a school day. It is a fairly diverse city as well. According to the last census, there were 75 different ethnic groups living in Leeds. It's not quite as diverse as London, but impressive all the same.
Has it always been a major city?
In the Middle Ages, it was a market town, and wool production was the key to the city's early prosperity. In fact, the wool trade's importance to Britain as a whole can't be underestimated. From the late 13th to the late 15th century, wool was a much sought-after commodity, and the best weavers, who operated in what is now Belgium, would pay top dollar for English wool. And that trade actually played a part in us going to war with the French in 1337 for 116 years, and that in itself actually increased the demand for uniforms and woolly blankets. To this day, the High Chancellor in the House of Lords still sits on a wool sack, and that's a reminder of the wealth our country gained through the wool trade. Anyhow, Leeds was a major wool producer, and even though it's bang in the middle of the country, the use of rivers and canals enabled the city to become one of England's major exporters. Demand for wool was once so great that the raw materials had to be shipped in from the colonies, Australia and New Zealand, in order to fulfil orders. Eventually, however, the mills couldn't compete with the cheaper alternatives coming in from the Far East, and with that, the UK's woolen mills all but disappeared in the mid-20th century. You can look further into this aspect of Leeds' past by visiting the Armley Mills, which was once the largest woolen mill in the world and is now operated by Leeds City Council as an industrial museum. Fortunately for Leeds, a range of other industries had sprung up during the Industrial Revolution. Flax mills became common, and along with those, factories producing the engines, machinery and tools to get the job done. Printing was also big business in Leeds, and the city was home to Waddington's, who started off printing theatre programmes before moving on to board games such as Monopoly. So there was quite a lot going on in Leeds, and the population grew as a result.
And what about now? Is manufacturing still a major industry?
It is actually, and I know that lots of people think that the UK simply doesn't do manufacture these days, but that's incorrect. 160,000 people are employed in the manufacturing industry in Leeds, in construction, textiles, automotive engineering, and the aerospace industry, amongst others, and some of it's very innovative. But again, not all of its eggs are in one basket. The city is the second largest legal centre in the UK, and it's a major player in the financial services industry, with 30 national and international banks located in the city. And because of this, Leeds is listed as a Gamma World City, that is, one that links smaller economic regions into the world economy, and it's on that list alongside the likes of Marseille, Osaka, St. Petersburg, and good old Belfast.
Okay, thanks for the background. You mentioned the Industrial Museum. What else is there for visitors to see in Leeds?
We weren't there for long, so I can't really comment on how good the attractions are. We did go to the Leeds City Museum and had a look at the Leeds Gallery, which delves into the history of the city. but didn't have time to see much else. It did appear to be quite popular with families, however, and that's always a good sign. Nearby, there's also the Henry Moore Institute. Moore was born near Leeds and studied at the city's School of Art after fighting in the First World War. He's best known for his sculptures, particularly his reclining figures, of which there's an example outside Leeds Art Gallery adjacent to the Institute. Moore set up a foundation in 1976 in order to boost the appreciation of sculpture, and the Institute is tasked with doing just that. I quite like Moore's work, and you can see quite a few of his pieces at the Tate in London. And what else is there to see? Well, there's the Royal Armouries Museum, which is home to the nation's collection of arms and armour. I've heard really good things about this place, and we'll definitely have to see it some other time. It's been open to the public since 1996, and houses about 76,000 objects. It's free to visit, and as well as weaponry from all around the world, the museum also offers taekwondo training twice per week. It's a nice little sideline they've got going there. Kirkstall Abbey, which are monastic ruins dating back to the 12th century, lie about 5 kilometres to the northeast of Leeds, and it's almost certainly worth a visit. Again, we've not been there, but it does get good reviews elsewhere. And Inne, you can tell us a bit about the Grand Theatre in Leeds.
I can. Because while you're getting drunk with your friends, I went to see an opera. It was The Marriage of Figaro, performed by Opera North, one of England's national opera companies. They toured Northern England and London, but also travelled to other parts of Europe. I really enjoyed the performance. It was sung in English rather than Italian, so I understood most of it.
And what about the theatre itself? I saw it from outside, but can't really imagine what it looks like inside.
It was quite big. I think it has seats for 1,500 people. It was built in the late 19th century by George Curzon. His assistant has travelled in Europe and he was very influenced by European style. The inside is quite gothic. I really enjoyed the evening and would recommend it to others.
Opera isn't everyone's cup of tea and it's not always affordable, but if you are interested in the architecture, you can go on a guided tour of the building for a very reasonable £5. As you mentioned there, when I was catching up with my old friends in Leeds, I saw the insides of quite a few pubs, but the best one we went to was on Sunday afternoon, White Locks Ale House. That was superb. I think it's the oldest pub in Leeds and the interior was amazing. There was a really great selection of beers as well, and the Sunday roast that we had was incredible. If British ale is something that you want to try out when you're in the UK, this is the type of pub you should be drinking in. The highest compliment I can pay it is that it is almost as good as the Crown Bar in Belfast. Actually, Leeds has quite a vibrant nightlife, and that's not surprising, given that the city is home to 3 universities and 60,000 students. So that's another area in which Leeds excels, though we're far too old for that type of carry-on ourselves.
The shopping in Leeds is also quite good.
Again, that's not one of my favourite pastimes, but there is no denying that it is a good venue for shopping. As we saw earlier, Leeds has always been an industrious town, and with industry comes disposable income and places to dispose of it. For example, the Corn Exchange in Leeds was opened in 1864, and as the name suggests, was originally designed to enable traders to exchange grains. That function has long since been lost. Many other such buildings around the country have been converted into concert halls and offices, but the one in Leeds, which is a magnificent domed effort, is still used by merchants today. There's lots of independent shops in there, and when we visited on Sunday morning, there was a record and CD fair taking place. Even if the shops are of no interest, the architecture should be, and it's definitely worth a look. A little further down the road is Leeds Kirkgate Market, one of the largest indoor markets in Europe. It was closed when we called by on Sunday, which is unfortunate, because we really like wandering around those types of places. Generally, these markets sell staples such as meat, fish, fruit and veg, but there are also other independent traders, maybe selling arts, crafts and so on. Jimmy Oliver has opened the Ministry of Food at Kirkgate. You can enrol in classes there to learn how to make good, healthy, inexpensive meals, usually sourcing the ingredients from the traders in the market. At the other end of the shopping spectrum, Leeds is something of a mecca for those who are looking for big name brands and luxury goods. and judging by the number of Swiss shopping arcades, it must have been like that for quite some time. But the opening of the Trinity Centre has really catapulted it to the top of the charts. Even within that shopping complex, there's a bit of heart and soul. If you go up to the food court, you'll see an old ambulance, now kitted out with kitchen equipment and serving food that's been discarded by other shops and restaurants, and you basically pay whatever you feel it's worth. This is known as the Real Junk Food Project, and we'll add a link to it on our blog, and would encourage everyone to have a look and offer them a donation, because the work they're doing is nothing short of phenomenal.
Right, we've talked about history, things to see, a bit of culture and shopping. What else can we say about Leeds?
There's still a bit to cover, but let's turn now to sport. As we've established, Leeds is a big city, but they don't have a Premier League football team. They used to, but things fell apart for them in a quite dramatic fashion, and Leeds United FC are still struggling to make it back to the top. The club were very successful in the 1960s and 1970s, winning the league twice as well as various cup competitions, and they were also one of the best teams in Europe at that time. United won the league again in 1992, but after some good performances in both the Premier and European Champions Leagues in the late 1990s and early 2000s, they were financially mismanaged on an epic scale and fell as far as the third tier of English football in 2007. They're now stagnating in the level below the Premier League. To be fair, their fans have stood by them throughout. They got some huge crowds in the lower league, and they'd probably be an attractive club to play for if they could just make it back to the top and get back on an even keel financially at some point. My favourite team, Rangers from Glasgow, are going through something similar at the moment, so I can kind of empathise with Leeds fans. Some fantastic players have turned out for Leeds down through the years. John Charles, a Welshman who also played for Juventus, for example, was considered one of the best players of his generation. Billy Bremner, the former Scotland captain, was a midfield dynamo. He was only 5 feet 5 inches tall, but he was a real tough cookie, but skillful with it. He was voted Leeds United's best player of all time, and there's a statue of him outside their ground. And the greatest footballer ever, David Healy, also had a spell there, though it didn't work out brilliantly for him at that time. Rugby league is incredibly popular in the north of England, and Leeds Rhinos are one of the sport's most successful clubs. The game differs slightly to rugby union, which is probably better known around the world, but I find rugby league to be much quicker and a more exciting game. Wigan and St Helens are traditionally the strongest clubs in England, but Leeds have performed really well in recent years and have won the league 9 times in total, including 6 victories in the past decade, so that's not a bad record. Leeds is also home to the Yorkshire County Cricket Club, and they're the current national champions. The club boasts several England internationals, and they've won the county championship on 32 occasions, more than any of their competitors. Like rugby league, cricket is huge in the north of England, and I'm sure we'll try to get to a few games when the new season starts in the summer. Finally, Nicol Adams, who is the first woman to win an Olympic gold medal for boxing. She's also from Leeds, and a couple of post boxes in the city have been painted gold in her honour.
You mentioned a few famous sports people who played in Leeds, but will our listeners recognise anyone else from the city?
Yeah, Leeds has many notable sons and daughters, some of whom may be familiar, some of whom won't. In no particular order, there's the actors Peter O'Toole, who played Lawrence of Arabia, Malcolm McDowell, who starred in Clockwork Orange, and Tom Wilkinson, who you can see on the silver screen right now as Lyndon B. Johnson in Selma. Alan Bennett, he's a highly revered contemporary playwright. He's probably best known in the UK, but his film adaptations of The Madness of King George and The History Boys were popular overseas as well. The novelist, Helen Fielding, she's best known for Bridget Jones's Diary. And then a couple of architects, Benjamin Henry Latrobe. Our American listeners may or may not know that he was the architect who designed the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. And Francis Rattenbury, he designed the British Columbia Parliament buildings in Canada. And finally, John Smeaton, who who was known as the father of civil engineering.
Quite a list. I feel like I've learned a lot about lists. To sum up, it's bigger than we thought. It's a thriving and important economic hub. It's great for shopping. There are some interesting museums, and there are good places to eat and drink.
Indeed. And it's also worth mentioning that Leeds lies in close proximity to many other fantastic parts of the UK. It's only 25 miles from York, 40-odd miles from Manchester, and it's a gateway to the Yorkshire Dales, which boasts some spectacular scenery. And I did find the people there to be fairly friendly too. All in all, we'd highly recommend a trip there. There's certainly enough to keep you occupied in the city over a weekend, or you could base yourself there for a longer visit to the region. Do eat at the Real Junk Food Project and donate what you can, and do have a pint at White Locks.
We'll finish there for now. Join us next week for a taste of Scotland. We are going to a burnt supper, and we'll be checking out one of London's latest iconic buildings, the Walkie Talkie. See you then!